I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the UFC, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. We are two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We're not right versus left, we're right versus wrong. And we're reporting for duty. Terry, what about you?
I'm reporting for duty, sir. And Jesse just came back from Napa. He's got to tell us about that. But I'm reporting with such enthusiasm, and I'll tell you why. Because I know we win. And today's show, we got some great people coming on. We got Brian Birch from CatholicVote.com. 20-minute segment where we're going to talk with him. Also, we're going to bring in Abby Johnson, who spoke at the Republican National Center report, or I should say the convention.
The
yep. And also, we're going to have President Trump with a clip calling out Democrats on abortion. It's just what it is. And then you know what I really like the most, everybody? Maybe you've seen it, but Sister Soldier Insurgent Speaker, Catholic Sister, to address the Republican convention. She had a great comment there. But Jesse, before we do that, I want to make one more comment before we get to the gospel. I have to bring this up. The CDC, the Center of Disease Center, came out and said what we've been wanting to hear for months. And Jess, I got to admit it. I'm not trying to brag. We said this from day one. Only 6% of the coronavirus deaths are solely from the COVID-19. So people died with COVID-19 from pneumonia or from other diseases. And so let's just be honest right now. Think about we shut the system down. We shut all the people that had gone out of work because of 6% of the people who died from COVID-19 died because of this. It had to be a political process going involved here because we don't do that for any other reason. So I just want people to know, go to the CDC. Don't trust me. It says only 6% of the people who died with COVID-19 died because of COVID-19. Jesse, let's do this. Let's get into
We've never shut in the history of this
I know.
Country, 246 years and counting, we've never shut down the economy over any virus. And we've had a lot of viruses that have killed 10 times more people than COVID-19.
Exactly.
This was completely a political strategy by the communists and the Marxists in this country to destroy the greatest economy that we've had in 60 years. Lowest unemployment for blacks, Hispanics, women. And again, when people are working, guess what? They're not looting. They're not breaking windows. They're not throwing bricks at police. That's what happens when people are working. But when people aren't working, everything that you see happening right now in these big blue state cities, that's exactly what happens when people are unemployed.
Well, Jesse, when I did the math, 3 times as many people die from the flu every year. Do we turn the economy off for the flu? No. I just wanted to make that point to everybody because they've been calling me, Terry, Jesse, you guys are right-wingers. You know what? We just happen to be right. We're not right versus left. The facts are the facts. Jess, let's open up the Bible, man. I'm so tired of being manipulated in this country right now that the truth has to come out. So let's read the truth of the gospel.
Terry, yesterday's reading at Mass
was it's
powerful.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
For what was going on right now.
Let read it, bro.
First, the first reading yesterday and Sunday of Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Let me give you the context because it's the same thing right now.
All right.
Jeremiah was living in a time of social upheaval. The Israelites were captive.
Mm-hmm.
They were under the Babylonian captivity, so they were prisoners. And there's a lot of insurrection, and there's a lot of persecution against the Israelites. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, but you know what? He probably, like most people say, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I don't want to get killed. You know, I don't want to get beat up. I don't want to get a brick thrown in my head. But yet Jeremiah talks about the fact, I can't keep my mouth shut. Even though we're being persecuted and I can get killed, I can't keep my mouth shut. Look what he says in yesterday's reading. It's very powerful. He says this. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed.
Mm-hmm.
All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. Stop there.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happens to Catholics, Christians in this country.
Yep.
Just like Jeremiah. We are objects of laughter. Everyone, the secular humanists, the media, the universities, academia, yep. Hollywood, they mock us. Jeremiah writes, whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day. In other words, he's saying, because I speak the truth, boy, oh boy, am I persecuted. Boy, oh boy, am I disrespected by my enemies. Look what he says. I say to myself, I will not mention him, mention God. I will speak in his name no more. Okay, that's the way a lot of us feel sometimes. Say, man, I just should throw in the towel and just go play golf all day.
Yep.
But look what Jeremiah says.
Just the opposite.
But then it becomes like fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. So Jeremiah talks about the struggle. You know what? It would be easier to keep my mouth shut, and I wouldn't be beat up and punched and persecuted and laughed at and derided. But you know what? When I try to keep my mouth shut, the word of God, it burns in my heart. It just wants to come out. And then St. Paul in the second reading picks up on that. He goes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, yesterday's reading, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Well, what does that mean? Offering your God as a spiritual sacrifice also means your mouth and your mind. Both of those should be engaged when you speak the truth. Your mouth and your mind should also be offered as a living sacrifice to God. St. Paul says, this is the key here.
Yeah.
And here's what a lot of Catholics miss it. Do not be conformed to this age. Did he catch that?
Yes.
But be transformed by the renewal of the mind. There's a Catholic priest that just came out and said, oh, I'm voting for Biden. Absolutely. You have other prelates and stuff openly saying that they're voting for Biden. Many bishops are very quiet about this, where they should come out thunderously against them. What are they doing? They're doing exactly. And what about all these pro-abortion, Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, many others? What are they doing? What St. Paul said not to do. They're conforming themselves to the spirit of this age. What is the spirit of this age? Abortion. Kill babies for Satan.
Same-sex
what
marriage.
What is the same-sex marriage? Euthanasia.
Yep.
Everything that has to do with the fifth commandment.
Got it.
Thou shall not murder. They want to break the fifth commandment. They want to say the fifth commandment doesn't apply to us. We're above the fifth commandment. And so many Catholics have conformed their mind to the spirit of this age, which is murder. And then St. Paul says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed. What does that mean? Transformed. It comes from the word transfiguration. In other words, St. Paul is saying, let your mind think about heaven and heavenly things. Don't think about earthly things. Think about the end. Think about death, judgment, heaven, hell.
Man.
Think about that victory lap. Think about running into the arms of God at the last day. That's how you renew your mind. That's how you stay strong. You got to keep the end in sight.
Amen.
Face-to-face fellowship with God. Then St. Paul says, when you do this, he says, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Stop there. Why is it that, for example, somebody like Joe Biden, who's a baptized Catholic, received all the sacraments, why is it that he can't discern the will of God? Why is it that he doesn't know what is good, what is pleasing, and what is perfect? Why? Because he hasn't transformed his mind to the things of God. What he's done, he's conformed his mind to the spirit of this age. Power, politics, popularity. Terry, and this is the warning for a lot of Catholics.
Absolutely.
Don't let your politics become your religion, like many people that we see in public. Your religion supersedes your political party and your political preferences. The religion of Jesus Christ, the Catholic faith, is objective truth.
Yep.
And that must form your moral conscience so that you can know how to vote and what political party you should support. Terry?
Absolutely. Jesse, I got to continue with St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. It's the first reading for today's Mass.
Yeah.
He says, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come submittedly of words of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except here comes Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came into weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Here comes the gold. Here it is. So that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Let's not rest on man. Let's rest on God, because man is always going to disappoint you. God will never disappoint you. Jesse, when we come back, we've got an amazing man who's going to talk about CatholicVote.com, Brian Birch, and we'll let Sheen go a little later. But I got to tell you, this is someone I've been supporting for a lot of years because he's helping have Catholic,
doing good work.
With a Catholic mindset when it comes to voting. And that's what we need, because it's scandalous what Jesse just said, to have a bishop priest saying they're going to vote for a pro-choice candidate is scandalous. And scandal is undermining the church right now. So we've got to stop doing that. Also, I want to let everybody know we got our new air conditioning units in over the weekend at the chapel. That's behind me if you're looking at us. It's nice and cold in there. I want to thank everybody who's helped us support that mission. And also, if you want to become a monthly donor, just go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you do 25 or more, you're going to get all kinds of Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Jesse Romero, Father Bill Casey, and many others of St. Joseph Communications material for 30 years that I've collected. It'll be in your box each month. If you want to be a supporter, call 877-526-2151. When we come back, we'll have more to inspire you to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be rich. Yes, but we're rich in grace. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tear and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
MMA Catholicism, Amen. Mother Mary's Army. Terry, I want
to put a small little clip of
just a
president
calling
out, talking about the issue of abortion.
Of course, we need to do that.
Yeah, let's, if we can play the clip, Mr. Engineer.
Yep. All right, we're going to play a clip here.
Joe Biden claims he has empathy for the vulnerable, yet the party he leads supports the extreme late-term abortion of defenseless babies right up until the moment of birth. Democrat leaders talk about moral decency, but they have no problem with stopping a baby's beating heart in the ninth month of pregnancy. Democrat politicians refuse to protect innocent life, and then they lecture us about morality and saving America's soul. Tonight, we proudly declare that all children, born and unborn, have a God-given right to life.
Terry, this
what is more?
This is the party of King Herod.
Yep.
I mean, just think about it. King Herod, he targeted these mass child killings at the time of Christ
to get
rid of Christ. And this is what happens. This is why abortion is so wicked. We complain about it. We have a lot of problems around the world. Can you imagine? We've probably killed the next inventor.
That's
of,
right.
You know, some type of
antidote. Cure for cancer. Could be anything. Yeah.
And the fact is, all the kinds of future disciples of Christ, all kinds of future theologians, future scientists, we're just snuffing them out, Terry. And this is the Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 11, it says this: rescue those being led away to death, hold back those staggering towards slaughter. That's what I see President Trump doing, his administration. And the fact is, the entire Catholic Church, Terry, we're under obedience to this divine command. We as Catholic Christians must stop this killing, and we're gonna have no credibility on Judgment Day. You can't say, I'm Catholic, but I'm indifferent to abortion. Are you kidding me? How can you say you're indifferent to throwing a baby in a trash can? Terry, we've got Brian Birch on the line. Brian, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
We sure can, yes. Brian. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, my friend.
Brian, let me ask you a question. Terry and myself, we're both members of Catholic Vote. We support what you do prayerfully and financially. I know, let me ask you a question. There's a Monsignor Paul Garrity of the Archdiocese of Boston. He posted on Facebook that he supports a woman's right to choose on the issue of abortion.
At least he took it down at later, but go ahead.
Yeah, he did. But he said, initially he says, I will vote for Joe Biden for president. And he also says, he took a swipe at you. He says, Catholic Vote is an organization that purports to speak for the Catholic Church. It does not. Brian, what say
yes.
you?
Hey, give us a response.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, you know what? I'll just look to what his Cardinal Archbishop did to him only a couple days afterwards. And what he did was he corrected him and forced him to go public and to apologize and disacknowledge what he had written. And here's the thing. None of us speak for the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ and his church speak for the Catholic Church. The teaching is independent of whether you or I or anyone thinks it is true or not. It is true. And the church teaches authoritatively and always has taught that the life of an unborn child must be defended with maximum determination, as St. John Paul II said. So what binds Monsignor Garrity is the same thing that binds me and the same thing that binds you. We don't get to make it up. And I think that's the difference, is that those of us out here attempting to try to connect what the church teaches to the political choices we will soon have to make, don't decide the truth for ourselves. We are obedient to the truth, and we have to submit our wills to that and act accordingly.
Brian, I know you track all this stuff. Isn't it a fact that President Trump, in my lifetime, I'm 59 years old, I think he's the most pro-life president I've ever seen in the White House. Is that a true statement? Is that factually supported by the data?
Well, again, you'd have to, depending on the criteria you use, of course, the attacks on life have grown more and more egregious as we've gotten further and further since the Roe v. Wade decision. And I think it's without question, President Trump has done more in terms of policy, in terms of regulation, in terms of attempts to reform the administrative state, which is essentially how our government enforces and acts upon our laws. President Trump by far has done more than any other president in history. And I think voters intuitively know that. Look at what happened last week in the convention. Speaker after speaker after speaker, unabashedly defending the right to life. This is not the Republican Party of John McCain or Bob Dole, where they paid lip service to this issue, right?
Yep.
Where we were supposed to go along as long as they said some nice things about us pro-life voters. No, this is a party that Donald Trump has radically transformed into a unabashedly proud and courageous pro-life party.
Amen.
In his acceptance speech on Thursday, he made one of the most dramatic points was that he said, all children born and unborn have a God-given right to life. I was at that speech in person.
Wow.
Every single person in that audience stood up with the loudest applause of the entire night. That tells you something alone, apart from policy. It's called leadership. And that's what the pro-life movement has needed from our president.
Brian, let me ask you a question. Terry Barber here. One of the reasons I support your organization is because I'm looking to help get Catholics to be high information Catholics, because I've noticed in my lifetime, Catholics haven't been voting with their moral compass, and you've been educating them. Can you tell us more how you do that?
Absolutely. Well, it begins with the simple, unfortunate fact that as much as 25 to 30% of mass attending Catholics,
yeah,
we're not talking about Catholics who don't practice,
non-practice,
mass attending Catholics are non-voters or are what called low propensity voters, which means they occasionally vote. They usually miss, you know, every two or three elections. Our focus is on those people. These are people that are still going to church with some regularity, often not as often as they should. But our entire program is premised on these are people where the Holy Spirit is at work, their conscience is at work, and they need that extra little push to get them over the line.
We're talking millions of Catholic voters in the United States
that single-handedly could determine the outcome of the election on their own.
Yeah.
And our job as Catholics, whether it be in politics or whether it be more broadly in the faith itself, the message of the gospel, is to make sure each of these Catholics understand the beauty of what our church teaches on these issues. These are not political questions ultimately. They're questions about what's true and good about the way God made the world. That's the way the church understands these issues. And so we have to bring them to light in the church. You know, a bishop once said to me, my job is to paint the dots. Your job is to connect them.
There you go.
I wish the bishops would do a little bit more dot connecting, but I'm happy to fulfill that. And I think that's our job, is to help people see that.
And Brian, how can people support what you're doing like Jesse and I do? Can you give us a website and how people can be like monthly donors? Because I really do believe in what you're doing.
Yeah, of course, financial support's important. Any group that's out there doing work for this election needs help right now.
Yeah.
So you can go to our website, catholicvote.org. You can sign up. You can get our email. In our emails, we obviously publish specific ways people can help.
Right.
Clearly, the most important thing you can do, so even do this even before you donate to us.
Yeah.
Make sure you decide to become an activist in this election. And that means talking to every Catholic you know in your parish. Don't assume they're going to vote, because I guarantee you some of your closest friends that you would never guess, these people don't regularly vote. We know it. We've seen the data.
Well said.
Be an activist. This is what the other side is doing so well. They're all turning themselves into activists.
Testing, one,
and we
two,
have to be
testing.
Serious. We have to
this
understand what's at
test.
Stake and decide to act. Not just make it a contribution. That's beautiful. I love it. We need it. It's what powers everything we do.
Got it.
Becoming a real contributor is to decide yourself to get involved.
Okay. Well said, Brian. I appreciate your content.
Brian, let me ask you a question. What did you think? I mean, to me, it was nothing short of a minor miracle that you would get Abby Johnson to be called to speak at a presidential convention. I mean, Abby Johnson, the movie just came out Unplanned a while back ago. That took a lot of courage.
Absolutely.
That took, I'm telling you, that took fortitude on steroids to get her and invite her to speak for your convention. You basically let people know what side of the fence you're on when you invite Abby Johnson to speak on your behalf. Comments?
Absolutely. You're making my point even better in terms of that convention, how unabashedly pro-life it was. Abby Johnson, an ex-employee of Planned Parenthood, now baptized Catholic. She not only converted from the cause of the culture of death to the culture of life, she converted and became a Catholic, and she is a proud Catholic. In fact, we are working with Abby very soon, are likely going to see some stuff from her from us, where she is calling on Catholics, you know, to be courageous, to not sit this one out, can't sit on the sidelines. She she said in that speech, and she said to me, and it's a startling kind of sentiment that stuck with me. She said, abortion has a smell. Oh. She said, I know the smell of dead children. And it shows you, we're not just talking about some abstract thing here. We're talking about children being ripped apart limb by limb and their body parts being sold. And then we're told, well, that's just one among many issues. It's just utter, utter nonsense. And Abby Johnson spoke to that as authoritatively as anyone, because she was there. She saw it. She smelled it. And she knows what she's talking about.
And Brian, I might add, she mentioned on Raymond Arroyo's show Thursday night, when she was asked to, you know, give this talk at the convention, she said to the people that are in charge, I want to describe what an abortion is and graphically do that. And they said, do what you have to do. We want you to give this talk. So, in other words, they weren't just telling her, yeah, come, because we just want to, you know, use you for a little bit for our process. No, she was told that she could tell it like it is. And I really appreciate that. That shows me the authenticity of the party on abortion.
I think you're right. Any of us that have been in this business long enough just kind of laugh to think that anything of that sort, had it been run by the planners for the 2008 John McCain nomination speech, would have laughed at, you know, out of the planning meeting.
Yeah.
There's no chance that would have made it. So we have, clearly yet another sign that this is a president and an administration
Amen.
Absolutely committed to life, and that's why we have to deliver.
You got it.
Brian, do you agree with me? I think this president is probably the most Catholic-friendly president I've ever seen. Why do I say that? I mean, he's got so many Catholic advisors. I read a good article, something like 30-some Catholic advisors, practicing Catholics. You have Sister Didi that essentially closed off the conference. I mean, here's a fully habited nun.
I love it.
You know, former doctor, former soldier, and says that I'm not only pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life. Then the conference is closed with the Ave Maria. Are you kidding me? I mean, am I onto something, or is this a mirage? This is a pretty this is a pretty Catholic-friendly administration.
Well, you know, St. John Paul II, one of my favorite lines from him was, in the designs of Providence, there are no mere coincidences. And I don't think it's a coincidence you have this New York celebrity priest, New York celebrity president, that a lot of us kind of wondered, I don't know about this guy. And he gets in there. What does he do?
Probably the last time
he names Catholic after Catholic after Catholic to lead his administration.
Everybody plugged in that is planning on plugging in.
The convention, as we just said, from Abby Johnson to Sister Didi to Cardinal Dolan. You go up and down the line. Attorney General Bill Barr, another exceptionally strong Catholic. This is a Catholic administration. It's no secret. They have mass. Happens
Check,
in the White House Executive Office
Check,
building,
one,
and the Lord is with Check, this administration. One,
Brian Birch from Catholic Vote, thanks so much for joining us on the Terry and Jesse Show. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, guys. Awesome. Keep it up.
Got it, partner. Take care. We'll be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We got some gremlins working in our computers. Did you hear those voices when we were doing the interview with Catholic Vote with Brian Birch? Yeah, you know what, folks? That happens. And then Gabby's interview that we had planned, they took it off the clip. It's no longer available on YouTube. So this is a battle we're fighting, and you got to get ready. Just before I bring Bishop Sheen in, I was real busy today before the show, and I spoke with some doctors that wanted to talk to me privately, and I won't say their names, but they're Catholic doctors, and they just said, Terry, it's been very difficult. I feel like I'm a coward. And I said, why? He said, because I'm not speaking up for the unborn like I should, or all these different issues that are happening. I'm just staying quiet because I want to keep my job. And I said, well, listen, you know, you gotta do what you think God wants you to do. I said, if you can't win the battle, I get that, but we've got to speak up, because if we stay quiet, we're going to go down. We're all going to go down. So why do I bring that up, Jess? Just because here on the Terry and Jesse Show, they tell us that they're inspiring people to speak up on their minds. I've got a local TV guy who just set me up this morning. I'm going out on the streets with him with a mic, and I'm going to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And we're going to put those clips on Virgin Most Powerful. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with the COVID-19 and just talk out on the streets. We're going to go out on the streets with a camera and a mic. Why are we doing this? Because we want to help people find Jesus. And that's why you support us. But let's bring Fulton Sheen into the room, the smartest guy in the room.
Yep.
Here he comes on that locomotive train. Well, it's running late today. All right. Well, we're having all kinds of issues today. But you know what? I praise God that we can still have a microphone in our hands in front of us, and we can still proclaim Jesus Christ. Here's what Bishop Sheen says today. See if this sets the stage for our culture that we're living in right now. He says, it is the parents who allow their children to do everything they please who are later in life not loved. Boy, Jess, think about all those people in rest homes right now where their sons and daughters have no interest in helping mom, talking to mom, talking to dad, supporting mom and dad, not implementing the fourth commandment because they say, hey, dad, I got other things to do. You're old. I mean, you're done. I'm out of here. And this is our culture. Why do you think abortion is so prevalent right now? Because we can kill up to over a million babies a year in our country. And think about this. What are we focusing on? Jess, I know this is going to be political incorrectness, but I'm going to say it. COVID-19. Why?
That's right.
And then we find out 6% only are the ones who have died. Hey, Jess, we got good news. I think the angels interceded for us. I want to introduce
Amen.
Abby Johnson to the Terry and Jesse Show. Here, play that.
My name is Abby Johnson, and I spent 8 years working for Planned Parenthood. But today, I'm a pro-life activist. When I was in college, Planned Parenthood approached me at a volunteer fair. They talked about helping women in crisis and their commitment to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. I was convinced to volunteer and later offered a full-time job as a medical assistant before my promotion to director of the clinic. I truly believed I was helping women, but things drastically changed in 2009. In April, I was awarded Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award and invited to their annual gala where they present the Margaret Sanger Award, named for their founder. And Margaret Sanger was a racist who believed in eugenics. Her goal when founding Planned Parenthood was to eradicate the minority population. Today, almost 80% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are strategically located in minority neighborhoods. And every year, Planned Parenthood celebrates its racist roots by presenting the Margaret Sanger Award. Later in August, my supervisor assigned me a new quota to meet, an abortion quota. I was expected to sell double the abortions performed the previous year. When I pushed back, underscoring Planned Parenthood's public-facing goal of decreasing abortions, I was reprimanded and told, abortion is how we make our money.
Mm.
But the tipping point came a month later when a physician asked me to assist with an ultrasound-guided abortion. Nothing prepared me for what I saw on the screen. An unborn baby fighting back, desperate to move away from the suction. And I'll never forget what the doctor said next. Beam me up, Scotty. The last thing I saw was a spine twirling around in the mother's womb before succumbing to the force of the suction. On October 6th, I left the clinic, looking back only to remember why I now advocate so passionately for life. I founded and currently run And Then There Were None, a nonprofit organization that's helped nearly 600 abortion workers transition out of the industry. For most people who consider themselves pro-life, abortion is abstract. They can't even conceive of the barbarity. They don't know about the products of conception room and abortion clinics, where infant corpses are pieced back together to ensure nothing remains in the mother's wombs, or that we joked and called it the pieces of children room. You see, for me, abortion is real. I know what it sounds like. I know what abortion smells like. Did you know abortion even had a smell? I've been the perpetrator to these babies, to these women. And I now support President Trump because he has done more for the unborn than any other president. During his first month in office, he banned federal funds for global health groups that promote abortion. That same year, he overturned an Obama-Biden rule that allowed government subsidy of abortion. He appointed a record number of pro-life judges, including two Supreme Court justices. And importantly, he announced a new rule protecting the rights of healthcare workers objecting to abortion, many of whom I work with every day. Life is a core tenet of who we are as Americans. And this election is a choice between two radical anti-life activists and the most pro-life president we have ever had. That's something that should compel you to action. Go door to door, make calls, talk to your neighbors and friends, and vote on November 3rd, take action that reelects our president and do it with our very most vulnerable Americans in mind, the ones who haven't been born yet.
Wow. She nailed it, Jesse.
Terry, this is like a St. Joan of Arc of our
yes.
day.
Yes.
This is a fearless Catholic Christian woman who came all the way from atheism to Protestantism, all the way into Catholicism. And something very important that yeah. she's mentioned, people don't realize it, is that Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist.
That's right.
A eugenicist, Margaret Sanger.
That's right.
And every single year, Abby Johnson mentions that they have this gala, this Planned Parenthood gala, where they give out the infamous, you know, racist founder award, the Margaret Sanger Award. By the way, Hillary Clinton's won that in the past.
Yep.
And if that doesn't just turn your stomach, and I like Terry, she says some things that were so powerful. I'll never forget.
Oh, man.
She said, look at the most powerful thing that she says that stuck to me to this very day. She says, for most people, abortion is abstract.
Yeah.
They can't conceive of the barbarity.
Mm-hmm.
For me, abortion is real. I know what abortion sounds like.
Yeah.
I know what abortion smells like.
Wow.
Did you know abortion had a smell? I do. Let that sink in, Terry.
And you know, Jesse, she made it really clear. But, you know, here's what St. John Paul II, we've been quoting him all the time here. He called governments that legalize abortion a tyrant state. And, Jesse, how do you justify voting for a government that kills its unborn babies? But St. John Paul II calls it, again, a tyrant state. I just think that we've never had it clearer to vote for in any other election in my entire lifetime, Jesse, where we have two diametrically opposed parties on the issues of life. That's just clear as a bell.
Yeah, it's as clear as a bell, and it's very interesting you mentioned that, Terry. You have a lot of Church of Satan temples around the country. Mm-hmm. They're getting involved in this political fight.
Ouch!
And guess what? The Church of Satan. I'm just wondering if you could guess, Terry.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard.
Do you think that they're pro-life or pro-abortion? Who do
abortion,
you
abortion? Obviously, and they've been praying. They've been putting hex on the on President Trump. These are the same people, Jess.
Terry, and I'll tell you why this is so evil. I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
At Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which brings us the blood of Jesus into the altar in a sacramental way, mm-hmm. what does it do? Out of that altar, just like a waterfall, like a Niagara Falls, it projects throughout time and space, sanctifying grace. Mm. And people are becoming holy as a result of
Amen.
Of that tidal weight of the blood of Jesus coming from Catholic altars after the consecration. It's flooding like Niagara Falls into the air, sanctifying grace, making people holy and making people prepared for heaven. Now, what is a satanic temple or the Black Mass? Because they do ritual killing, Terry.
That's right.
And also abortion clinics. Also, these are this is a parallel of basically the Catholic liturgy. Most people don't realize that Satanists see abortion as a ritual. And what projects yeah. into society? What projects? Evil, curses, malediction, hexes, incantations. So, in other words, it's like an anti-sacramental grace that's being projected into society the more and more you do these abortions. Because the object of the abortion industry is a demonic system, which is the perfect form of devil worship in our secular society.
Let me put it to you as simple as this, and people are going to get mad when I say it. Okay, go ahead and record it, Jess. The devil will vote pro-choice. Why? Because he loves to see people die. Who's going to pro-life? God. Hey, when we come back, Jess, sister, soldier, surgeon, speaker, Catholic sister to address the Republican convention. I love this sister. She says, I love what she said about, I'm for life, I'm for eternal life. And I love her. She's fully habited. She looks like a sister. We'll be back and have you listen to her, because she's going to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of his Son.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
You can follow me on Twitter at Real Jesse Romero, and I give you reasons every single day why you should vote for the pro-life candidate and the pro-life party. Every single day I'm blasting on Twitter reasons why you should vote pro-life.
Amen.
Number one, you want to get to heaven, okay? If you want to, if you vote pro-life, guess what? You're probably going to end up having eternal life. If you vote pro-death, guess what? You're going to end up having eternal damnation. Terry, here's an incredible nun.
Oh, I love her.
Sister Dee Dee. Sister Deidre Byrne. I think we have a small clip.
We do.
Audience, can you play the clip?
Play the clip. Here it comes. We're still having an issue. Jesse, let me just mention
soldier,
something.
Surgeon, speaker.
I hope we have the video of her so you can see what she looks like, because she's the real deal, man. 29 years she served our country. First of all, I want to thank her for that, but she's a bride of Christ, and she's awesome. Let's play a clip. Play that clip.
Good morning. I'm Sister Dee Dee Byrne, and I belong to the community of the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. Last 4th of July, I was honored to be one of the President's guests at his Salute to America celebration. I must confess that I recently prayed while in chapel, begging God to allow me to be a voice and instrument for human life. And now here I am, speaking at the Republican National Convention. I guess you better be careful for what you pray for. My journey to religious life was not a traditional route, if there is such a thing. In 1978, as a medical school student at Georgetown University, I joined the Army to help pay for my tuition and ended up devoting 29 years to the military, serving as a doctor and a surgeon in places like Afghanistan and Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. After much prayer and contemplation, I entered my religious order in 2002. Working to serve the poor and the sick in Haiti, Sudan, Kenya, Iraq, and in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Humility is at the foundation of our order, which makes it very difficult to talk about myself. But I can speak about my experience working for those fleeing war-torn and impoverished countries all around the world. Those refugees all share a common experience. They have been all marginalized, viewed as insignificant, powerless, and voiceless. And while we tend to think of the marginalized as living beyond our borders, the truth is the largest marginalized group in the world can be found here in the United States. They are the unborn. As Christians, we first met Jesus as a stirring embryo in the womb of an unwed mother and saw him born 9 months later in the poverty of the cave. It's no coincidence that Jesus stood up for what was just and was ultimately crucified, because what he said wasn't politically correct or fashionable. As followers of Christ, we are called to stand up for life against the politically correct or fashionable of today. We must fight against a legislative agenda that supports and even celebrates destroying life in the womb. Keep in mind, the laws we create define how we see our humanity. And we must ask ourselves, what are we saying when we go into a womb and snuff out an innocent, powerless, voiceless life? As a physician, I can say without hesitation, life begins at conception. While what I have to say may be difficult for some to hear, I am saying it because I'm not just pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life, and I want all of us to end up in heaven together someday. Which brings me to why I'm here today. Donald Trump is the most pro-life president that this nation has ever had, defending life at all stages. His belief in the sanctity of life transcends politics. President Trump will stand up against Biden-Harris, who are the most anti-life presidential ticket ever, even supporting the horrors of late-term abortion and infanticide. Because of his courage and conviction, President Trump has earned the support of America's pro-life community. Moreover, he has a nationwide of religious standing behind him. You'll find us here with our weapon of choice, the rosary. So thank you, Mr. President. We are all praying for you.
Wow. You know, when I saw that clip, I said, well, we got to play that. It's a powerful clip. Jesse, I have to say, Sister really speaks from experience. I mean, think about it. She was a medical doctor, soldier, and now she's a religious. She's a bride of Christ, and she's speaking the truth about abortion. And you know what I love about her? She's not afraid to speak out and say, listen, folks, this is a man in the presidency right now who is defending life. And it's about time we've been able. To me, it's an answer to prayer that this would actually happen today. I'm actually stunned that it took place. What were your thoughts, Jess?
Terry, I tweeted because people were asking me. Yeah. And said, to be honest, yeah, the DNC had a habitless nun. I just put it out there. I said, yeah, I don't trust a habitless nun.
No.
Trust me. I don't. Because when the uniform's off, the theology is deformed. The theology is, yeah, dissent, disordered. But this fully habited nun, she's not ashamed to show the world that she's a bride of Christ. And so what comes out of her mouth are the perennial teachings of the church.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else so powerful about this nun's speech. I mean, she understands the consequences, and she put it out there. She says, I'm pro-life, but more than that, I'm pro-eternal life.
Love it.
I mean, this is one of the most powerful lines I've, yeah, ever heard.
I know it.
Because people don't realize there's going to be consequences on your judgment if you didn't use, I'm going to use St. John Paul II, his document to Christi Fidelis Laici. If you personally don't use maximum determination,
yeah,
to stop abortion, every one of us, as we die, one at a time, we're going to be asked that question. The biggest civil rights issue in our lifetime,
right,
is killing babies. Every single person is going to be at the exit interview being interrogated by the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And I hope you're able to show the Lord evidence like, Lord, I did this, I did that, I voted for this guy, I signed this. Yeah. I hope you're going to be able to justify that you used in your world maximum determination to stop this, because there's nothing more evil than killing an innocent human being. In fact, the Catechism calls that one of the four sins that scream to heaven to God. It's saying, God, come down and do something. They're killing innocent people. It's a mortal sin on steroids, Terry.
And Jesse, I use the analogy of a farmer when he has the corn fields, the bean fields, whatever, he's the cows. But if the farm is on fire, he puts all the water on the fire, not on the bean field or the corn field. And abortion is that. So we need to stand up for life. And I think people get that message. And some people will say, you guys are always talking about that. You know why? If you don't have life, you have nothing else. Jess, before we continue, Richard wanted to get this in, and he's our engineer here. I want him to play a little clip about a debate that's coming up. Mr. Engineer, play that clip. All right. And maybe he's
join not. VMPR live on YouTube September 12th, 2020 for our latest free conference, The Ultimate Challenge. This exclusive virtual event will feature a brand new talk from Jesse Romero, How Apologetics Brought Me Back to Faith, plus never before broadcast video presentations from Dr. Scott Hahn, Father Mitch Pacwa, and the late great Father Benedict Groeschel. Go to vmpr.org to register now and get ready to face the ultimate challenge.
I'm glad you played that, because of all the debates I've seen in 40 years, Jesse, this is the best debate. And again, just go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio to sign up to watch this on our YouTube channel and on our app, or go and call 877-526-2151. Jess, we got a couple.
I would agree with you, by the way. Yeah,
I know. Well, Jess, you've been at all these debates. You've seen, yeah, Father Benedict Groeschel, especially on the Holy Eucharist. He's been dead, what, 4 years? But I'm telling you, in 1996, when he did this debate, he was on fire.
And he was, you know, theologically sharp. He was still, I mean, lucid. All these guys were at the top of their game when they were debating.
Yep.
And the other guys, they chose the best Protestants at that time.
Yep.
So it's not like you're going to hear a low information debate. The Protestants brought their best arguments, but they just fell super short.
You got it. Just to wrap up today's show, really, we're talking about the sacredness of life. That if we look the other way when it comes to abortion, we call it a sin of omission. And I say that because one of the things that I'm not saying I agree everything with this bishop, but Bishop Barron said it's a sign of a corrupt church that stops thinking deeply about the truths of Christianity. A church that is against being precise about its teaching is a corrupt church. People who try and tell me that abortion is okay in the Catholic Church, they're dead wrong. And I just wish, please God, Jesse, that more bishops, because we go with leadership, will call these people out and say, you can't do that, like the Cardinal O'Malley did to that Monsignor. You can't say you can vote for this guy because he's voting for abortion. We need more strong leadership, not just guys like us, Jesse, but we need our priests and bishops to stand up for life. And I know that might sound like a comment, like, well, of course they need to. No, they need to, because we've been too silent. That's my point, Jess. We need to speak up.
We got one person. He's on the network. His name's Bishop Strickland.
Yeah.
And he's inspiring a lot of people. You have good lay people saying Bishop Strickland is the voice of reason,
an
apostolic voice. And he's giving people a lot of that. One little bishop in a small little town of Tyler, Texas, is encouraging, ginning up the body of Christ. Terry, I'll tell you why this is so important that
we
get this right.
Tell me.
Because the goal of life is getting to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? And as Catholics, we have to do everything possible to become holy.
Yep.
And what do we have to do? We have to establish what's called the social kingship of Christ. That's the goal of the Catholic Church,
Amen.
The mission. Establish the social kingship of Christ.
Yep.
And one of the big impediments to establishing that is the killing of innocent babies. We cannot fully establish the social kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a divine mandate.
Amen, brother.
If we don't stop killing Jesus's favorites, which I would argue are innocent babies.
Of course, that's true. Wow, thank you very much, folks. If you know, you can tell we're not right versus left. This is right versus wrong. Killing unborn babies is plain wrong. It's sinister. That's why I say the devil's for it. God's for life. The devil's for abortion. Yes! Ask the Satanists. They'll tell you. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Not the state of confusion, not the state of desperation, not the state of panic, not the state of fear, the state of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. And remember the old Crusader hymn, okay? They say Christ conquers.
Yes.
Christ reigns and Christ commands. Let those three words be burned in your heart.
Well said. Up next, Dr. Ed Mazza, the Bar of History on Virgin Most Powerful. And tomorrow, Bishop Joseph Strickland from Tyler, Texas. His show is on right after the Terry and Jesse show. Lots of good programming. Go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio and like us on Facebook and on YouTube. Get the word out, because you know what? Time is short. We need to stand up for Christ and His church. God love you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg Thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of Thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.